Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy, your understanding. Lord, we thank you for your truth. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you in wherever we're at, Lord, that we can come to your word, that we can be challenged and encouraged. Lord, we thank you that this church is dependent upon the word of God for your truth, for your wisdom, for your understanding, for your direction for our lives, Lord. Forgive us for where we've gotten off track, Lord. I just pray that each one of us would truly be seeking through your word, through prayer, through accountability to others who are walking in faith, Lord, that we would seek understanding of the decisions we need to make and how we should live. So, Father, as we continue on in the book of James, Lord, I ask that you would guide us in your word. Lord, I pray that we would be different because of the truth of your word. Bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Guys, one of the main themes of the book of James is wisdom. And that's the practical living directed, giving us direction through the word of God. And that's how we really understand and know, how do we move forward in life? How do we face the challenges that we come across? When we are living wisely, we're able to get through those dark valleys, through those challenging times. We're able to walk through situations and heartache that we didn't know that we could endure, that we thought was too big. And yet the truth of the word of God gets us through there, and God's wisdom and love and understanding shows us a path through the storms of life. So, let me ask you this. As we look today, we're going to be looking at wisdom. God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. And as we come to this scripture today, why would a husband walk away from his wife when things get rough? Marriage is tough, isn't it? But why would somebody walk away when things get tough? Why? Because he's making a poor decision, because he's not seeking out God's counsel. The challenges of life are hard. Why would somebody buy a house they can't afford? I mean, because you just understand, we're talking about how things deal with everyday life. Another question is, why would somebody tell me the score of a Seahawks football game when I'm going to watch it later, on a later note? Right? Please don't. But guys, in all reality, no, please, no. We desire wisdom. We desire knowing how to get through challenges of life. 1 Corinthians 3:19-20 say this: "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness." There are consequences to the craftiness, to the poor decisions. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. Guys, it's interesting to me that man's wisdom is foolishness to God. We know the right way to do things, don't we? I tell you, I have so many times where I am sure of the right way to go on something because I've consulted myself. And so I see the problem, I make the decision, and I move forward in confidence. And then everything falls apart, and I say, God, why? Man's wisdom leading to trouble, and then, in a sense, in some ways, even blaming God. I can't tell you how many times I've been sharing the gospel with people, and they tell me, how can a loving God allow, and then they share their story of what happened to them. And so often, it's either the foolishness of someone else that has done bad things to them, or the foolishness of their own decisions, and then blaming God for the end results. Guys, I want to thank you so much for your prayers. I put it in the prayer chain to have you pray for me as I met with my dad on Friday. As most of you know, my dad doesn't know the Lord yet. And we had a wonderful time, talked for like 5 hours, and I gave him the gospel for about an hour and a half. And he listened. It was amazing. But it was so incredible, because as I shared, I felt the prayers of people. I felt the Holy Spirit leading, and I was speaking the truth, God's truth, in God's wisdom, in ways that he could connect with. And I was so thankful, because my father, at the end of our time together, he said, "You know what, Matt, I've never thought of it that way. I've never processed it. That's really good. Thanks for that. Keep praying. Because right now, it's as it is for so many. When people are outside of faith, the things of God either seem completely foolish, or it's not quite understanding it, not quite able to get there. Why? Because there's no faith. Because the Holy Spirit is not in them. And for us who have the Holy Spirit in them, and why would we choose to live as though God is not in us? And so we need to seek out the Word of God. When I'm making a decision, ask God, and here it is, what's the wisest thing to do in this situation? And then seek God's Word and counsel from others in faith about what is the wisest thing to do. Now, we can quickly, in everyday decisions, as we're in the Word of God daily, process it through that filter. But for those bigger decisions, spend some time seeking God's counsel, getting an idea. Because God's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's got the right answers for us. And so the question is, do I trust me more or do I trust God more? And I got to tell you, there's times where we say, what? I trust me more. I want to make this decision my way in my time. And we see here that that's foolishness. It's foolishness. If you're living in disobedience to God, you're saying, I don't need God's wisdom or power, his understanding. I don't need his direction in my life. And only a fool hears the word of God and turns away. Guys, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to live foolishly. I want to trust God. James, so let's hit it. James 3, we're going through verses 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from what? Wisdom. That comes from wisdom. So who's understanding among you? Who's wise? Let them show it by their good deeds. Now, what kind of good deeds? What kind of things are we talking about? Deeds done in humility. There's good deeds that are done to do what? To build me up as, look at a wonderful person I am. Did you see this wonderful thing that I did? Just in case you didn't, I'm gonna write it on a wall somewhere, and then I'm gonna talk about it, and I'm gonna show it, and man, I'm a really wonderful person. We've received our reward in full. But when we care about the things of God, what do? We care about God's people. And now, in everyday, real, on the ground, rubber meets the road, places of life, we see the needs of the people around us, and we quietly, lovingly serve and give and do and live out his truth and wisdom. Let them show it by their good life. Deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Humility means God gets the glory. God gets the glory. We don't want to be seen as the one who does it. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're not Christ. It goes on to say, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, bitter envy. What is bitterness? What's bitterness? So you're upset. And it says bitter envy. So you're upset because you don't have. And so you're stirring the pot of trouble. And guys, we've got a world that is stirring the pot of trouble. We're inventing new things to be offended by. There is so much already to be challenged with. We don't need to come up with new things. And as believers, we've got a world that is hurting around us. We've got a world that is struggling. We've got a world that is divided in every way, according to color, culture, politics, everything. And as believers, we're called to live a different life and bring a different truth. Not man's truth, but God's truth. The world says, me and mine. That's bitter envy and selfish ambition. Me and mine. I'm protecting me and mine. And if you come against me, you're my enemy. And that's the wisdom of the world. Guys, in the last few weeks, one of the main things we've been looking at is words matter, and what we say comes from the heart. And that idea ends its thought in this idea of wisdom, because what's in the heart comes out of the lips. But God's interested in not just the lips, he's interested in the heart of us. And so we can't change our behavior unless we change the core of what's inside. And so if you've got bitter envy or selfish ambition, what do we need to do? We need to go before God, seek it. What does his word say about those things? Yeah. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Don't be about this world. Don't allow the thing. You know, so much of the gospel has now gone into God wants you to have. The gospel is not God wants you to be rich and successful here and now. The gospel is we are broken before God. We don't have a way to make ourselves right with God. And God, in his incredible generosity and riches, has given us a way to be with him for eternity. And some of those blessings will be seen in different ways, but the most important blessing is the eternal blessing that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It gives us this idea of bitterness and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. So don't deny where our hearts are. Guys, we can't be dishonest about where we're at. We can't be dishonest about when we're struggling. Here's a thought. Find somebody you can trust and share with them. Seek the word of God, seek counsel. Don't share your pearls before swine. Don't share the dirt with everyone. That's unwise. Because some people will take the dirt and say, I have got the goods on this person. I might use it now or I might use it later. Love people, trust God, right? But as the Holy Spirit is leading you in real relationships, find those gentlemen, find those guys that are older, that have been walking in faith for a long time, that you can share your challenges with. Jim Shedd, can I have you stand? So Jim and I meet every Thursday. One of the things that has changed my heart is I can share anything with that man and he will receive me as I am. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have it together, right? I'm supposed to have the answers. I'm just a man. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, Jim. Do you see how blessed I am? That's just a touch of a taste of the blessing that I receive weekly. To have somebody who's willing to share the hard things, the real things, the loving things, the challenging things, the encouraging moments. The one that when I'm down, gives me an arm around the shoulder. The one when I'm getting off track can give me a little bit of a boot to the rear. Somebody who cares enough to say what's needed and what's real. And it's a blessing. So, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is three things here. It's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. Guys, first of all, false wisdom belongs to the world, to the worldly, to the earthly. It's limited by what man can do. So there's three things that we're struggling with here. The word, the world, the flesh, and the enemy of God. And so we see the word earthly limited to what man can do. The flesh, that's the unspiritual, the part that wants our will, our way, in our time. I want it my way. I don't want God's truth. I don't want his way for my life. The flesh is so much built on me. It's the worship of self. Rather than having Christ on the throne of our lives, we try to remove Christ and put ourselves up there. We don't belong up there. And then the demonic, the devilish, and these are the three great enemies for the believer: the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the spiritual forces of this dark world. Guys, there's a better way. There's a way that we can seek God's will for our lives and find a path through the storm. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says this: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." You know, there's a lie out there which is not only that it's all about me, but that, you know what? Having it being all about me is a good thing. That it's a good thing that we're in it for us, and we need to be, because nobody else will be. One of the things that is a challenge with counsel, and that I hear from a lot of people is who've gone through counseling is they're trying to get help, and so they're getting the people to focus on themselves rather than focus on God and others. I want to encourage you, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. You can always tell when a church family follows false wisdom. You can always tell when a family or an individual follows false wisdom. There you're going to find jealousy, division, and confusion. You see, the enemy is trying to bring in all these things because he celebrates when we're in conflict with each other. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a way where the enemy celebrates my life. Instead of humbly depending on the Spirit and the Word of God, we often look to the world for ideas, for a way through. Guys, what's the answer to our political problems? Is it Democratic? Is it Republican? Is it independent? Or is it Jesus? Is it God's truth or man's truth? You see, man tries to say, this is the answer, and we divide over man's answer. And not only are we going to divide, but we're going to say, you're not just wrong, you're evil. Guys, I want to encourage you right now. Our communities, our spheres of influence need us to stand in the gap and say, you know what? We can disagree without being disagreeable. We can encourage each other in coming to an understanding of maybe we disagree on how to get there, but we all want what's better for our country, for our world. And so we need to respect those that we're talking to. We need to not only respect them, we need to love them in the love of Christ. And here's the thing, we need to be willing to stand in love, even if we're going to take a shot for it. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to be kind and loving when those around you are saying, there's a weakness there, take advantage of it. Get in there, crush them, make them feel bad. Guys, instead of humbly depending on the Spirit and the Word of God, we look for things that will come. And guys, that all started in Genesis 3. This is nothing new. Do you remember Adam and Eve? They were told what to do, how to live. And the enemy comes to him and he says, did God really say that? You see, the enemy has been questioning God. Did he really say that? He's trying to give us a false sense of what is right and what is wrong. We don't want to believe the devil's lies. Remember, the devil is what? He's a lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy wants us destroyed. And so we need the Spirit of God, the power of God, the truth of God, the strength of God to empower us so that when we come to the challenges of life, we walk in God's truth. And behind us, man, there's the wake of blessing, not the wake of destruction and broken relationships. So the real question is, what's the wisest thing to do from God's point of view? In this situation that you're at, right now, I want you to ask, where is it? What's on your heart right now? What's a big thing that you're dealing with? I don't know what it is. God does. Is it a relationship? Is it a broken relationship? Is it a hurting relationship? Is it a decision that's going to impact a lot of other things in your life? Whatever it is, how do you make the wisest choice? We need to seek God, seek His truth, seek counsel. The most foolish thing you can do is not seek His truth for that area of your life. But I also want to say this. If you don't know God, it's hard to hear from God. You see, when I pray, I'm speaking to my Heavenly Father, who I have a personal relationship with. There's an intimacy there. And so when I'm struggling with something, I can go to my spiritual father and say, Dad, I need your help. I need your understanding. I need to know how to get through this. And because I've heard His voice before, when He speaks, I'm quick to hear it again. When we're outside of faith, we're speaking to an unknown God. And the Holy Spirit can speak, but it's hard for us to hear. And so I want to encourage you, be praying. If you know about Jesus, you've heard about His death, burial, resurrection, but you don't know Him intimately, get to know God. How can we know our Heavenly Father? By knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. By receiving what He's done. The most foolish thing you can do is die without Jesus. That's the most foolish thing we can do. And I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I've lived for myself. It's been all about me. Because guys, the consequences are eternal. They're eternal. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. You know what children of God do? They bring peace to the people around them. Not their peace, God's peace. And so in this broken world, we need to stand in love and in truth. And it's a hard place to stand. Jesus on the cross, what do you do with it? Jesus, death, burial, resurrection. How do we respond to what Christ has done? A wise person who loves peace, they've received the love of Christ and they've experienced what? The peace of Christ in their own hearts. Because before I was a believer, I battled against God. Anybody else been there? Where you were in a place, you're going through a life, and you knew what was best. You were doing it, and you were so confused by the consequences and what took place from your decisions. But when you come to faith, we have a direct line to hear the truth of God. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says this: "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world?" The wisdom of the world is foolishness, guys. Don't play the fool. Verse 18 says this of James 3. "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." A harvest of righteousness. Guys, we want a harvest. First of all, what's a harvest? What comes to your mind when you think of a harvest? Food? Gathering? What takes place for the harvest to take place? There's a whole lot of work for the harvest to happen, isn't there? You don't start with the harvest. You start with the planting, the watering, the tilling the soil, the getting it ready. There's so much going into it. And peacemakers, when we till the soil of life in peace, we reap the harvest of peace. That means we reap the harvest of people coming to faith in Christ. Who's that person you've been praying for? For me, it's my dad. You know, I've been sharing about him. He's asked for a Bible. We've talked about Jesus. I've given him the gospel. We're taking steps. Keep praying for that man. But you guys all have those people in your life, don't you? Seek God. Seek His word. There are times where you're called to be silent. There's times where you're called to say less and pray more. And there's times where God just opens it up to give the gospel. I want to encourage you, be willing to till the soil, water it, prepare it, get it ready. It's a beautiful thing. And it's done in peace. Guys, we want to be a church that shows the peace and the love of God to the people around us. Are you willing to commit to that? Are you willing to do, you know what? Are you willing to say, I'm going to put my desire over here and I'm willing to take up God's truth for our lives, for my life, for what's best for us. In your relationships, are you willing to love more than be right? In your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your work relationships, are you willing to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to put that person first, to put their eternal state as a goal of mine. So rather than argue about the little things, how can I seek to serve? How can I get involved in ways that are a blessing to those around me? It's a different mindset, isn't it? It's a different base. What we come from and where we go is different because our base is different. We've got a different foundation that we're building on. And so the structure is different. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, thank you that we don't have the answers ourselves, that this world is not all that there is. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in our times of trouble. We can seek encouragement from others. Lord, I pray for each person here, Lord. You know where they're at. You know where what they're going through. You know the relationships they have that are broken or hurting. Father, we lift up those relationships right now. Lord, we lift up the ones that are broken, the ones that are struggling. We trust you with them. We ask for your counsel on how to move forward. Father, for some of us, the broken relationships are with people who have passed. who are not with us anymore. Lord, I pray for the ability for your Holy Spirit to bring in healing and blessing and forgiveness. Father, may we forgive those who have hurt us so that we can live in peace. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Use it for your glory in our lives, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thanks, guys.